Okay, let's learn some Hilchos Tefillin. We have one more paragraph to do on page Samach Zayin. We are in the middle of Simen Yud. Simen Yud Sifkat and Beis. We are on page Samach Zayin. We are in the second paragraph. We're in the middle of the Sos Dalacha of Mishayakir. The earliest time that a person can put on tefillin is Mishayakir. Now, by the way, there are two zmanim that are given in the Gemara for Mishayakir. There's a time when you can recognize the difference between, when it comes to Talis, the difference when you can recognize the difference between the Tcheles and the Lavan. And when it comes to tefillin, the Gemara says the zman Mishayakir is when you can recognize your friend Sheragel Imay Ktsas Berichuk Dalet Amos. So the Mishnah Berurah says they're exactly the same as Shir. One should not be confused and think that the Zman of Mishayakir for Talis and Tefillin is different than the Zman of Mishayakir for Talis is different than the Zman of Mishayakir for Tefillin. That's a confusing concept. Because we know that you're not allowed to put on Talis and Tefillin until Mishayakir. But the Gemara gives seemingly a different Zman of Mishayakir for Talis than for Tefillin. For Talis, the Zman of Mishayakir is when you can tell the difference between the Tcheles and the Lavan. The Zman Mishayakir for Tefillin is when you can recognize your friend Haragel Imay Berichuk Dalet Amos. So does that mean to say that when you can put on Talis at 60 minutes before sunrise, but you can't put on Tefillin until 40 minutes before sunrise because there are different Zman of a Mishayakir? Maybe you can make an argument they are different Zman, but the Mishnah Berurah says no, they're one in the same. So when we talk about this idea called Mishayakir, whatever Zman you want to accept for Mishayakir, it's the same for Talis and Tefillin. Now, when is the Zman Mishayakir? So I looked it up, and there are many different opinions, and it goes between 35 to 60 minutes before sunrise. That is the extreme. So I guess somewhere in between will be something like I told you, yes, like 50 minutes. Look at the different calendars, will give you different Zman. It has to depend on a whole bunch of factors. But basically between 35 and 60 minutes is the Zman of Mishayakir, when the earliest time you can make a bracha on Talis and Tefillin. Rav Moshe has, I saw the Shuv is in Chelek Dalid, or Chaim Chelek Dalid, Simin Zion is where he talks about where a person wants to wake up early and he's not, and he, so technically, we learned yesterday, a person can wear tefillin at night as long as you have already gone to sleep and you're not planning on going back to sleep. You can put on tefillin, you can make a bracha. But talis, you can't make a bracha until Mishayakir, because talis, we pass is only zman, only by the. Let's just see some more things, maybe we'll come across some more ideas. Let's see the second paragraph. Where A, B'yalkid Yosef, Hevi Mishem Chasson Hagoyin Baal to us Hasodeh. Shehitu L'anshe Hatzavosh Yanichenu V'yivaruchu Aleim Kodim Hayoyim V'yispalu P'sugi D'zimmer V'kriyashma B'loi B'rchoy Seho. So here we have soldiers. Soldiers have no choice. They're getting up very, very early. They can put on the tefillin, and they can put on the tefillin, they can make a bracha, ulhaniach tefillin al mitzvas tefillin, before sunrise, and they can daven b'suk de zimra, v'kriyashma b'loy b'rchoy secha. So here is the problem. It's before aloy sashachar. It's before dawn. It's before dawn. Now, by the way, aloy sashachar is between 72 minutes and 90 minutes. Most of us accept the number 72 minutes. But if you recite Kriyashma before aloy sashachar, just say Kriyashma. You do not recite the brach of Yotzer or Nahava Rabba and go al Yisrael. And then you can daven Shmona Esrei. Uchshiyagia hazman Kriyashma. When the zman Kriyashma arrives, once you pass the zman of aloy sashachar, yoimru Kriyashma. Later in the day, you say Kriyashma Birchay Secha B'loy Tefillin. The Ayin B'Mishnah Berurah Shevi B'Shem Chiddush Shevi Eger. The Im Berich Aleim Kodim Or Hayoyim Ein Tzarch Levarich Shenis Boik Ayin Sham. That Bidi Yaved. If you make a bracha on your tefillin in the middle of the night, you do not make another bracha later during the day. Uve Mahariel Maisa Bi Magentsia Roshana Rabba Shahayu. They got very early. They thought already it was dawn. V'hoyu misad from the talis with tefillin. V'sim pesukah de zimra. V'himtinu achakach kimat shah ad sh'ol amud hashachar. And it brings a story that they got up too early on Hashanah Rabbah. You have to wait, make sure it's the proper Zman. Psukei de Zimra v'inichu talis utfilin b'layla ayin sham tells of a story that such a terrible thing happened by mistake. They made a mistake. They daven psukei de Zimra and they put on talisim before the night. Honestly, we're not such a mandrega to do these things. I vaguely remember from Rav Chaim Volozhin, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe no, Rav Sol Salanter. It's a very, very fascinating story. The yeshiva once was locked. The yeshiva was locked and the boys wanted to get into the Beis Medrash early in the morning to daven or to learn, and the door was locked. So one of the boys, he opened up the window from the outside. He pried open the window and he climbed in the window, came into the Beis Medrash, opened the door. I opened up the door, everyone came in, they sat down and they were learning. They're learning the davening. I think Rav Sol Salanter came not so long later and he said, "How did you get in? The door was locked." So they told him, "We opened up, we pried open the window from the outside, and someone climbed and opened up the door." He was goyzer a tainis with Vayichal, the lame Vayichal. How can a bachar go into a Beis Medrash like a ganav through a window? If the moral climate of society has gone so low, we have no shame in climbing into the Beis Medrash through the window like a ganav. There's something fundamentally wrong with your midos, and we need to be goyzer a tainis and lame Vayichal. So here we have a similar story where they got up very early on Hashanah Rabbah, and they thought already it was Amud HaShachar. They put on talis and tefillin. They made a bracha. It was still in the middle of the night. And they said they davened the entire psukei de Zimra. And then they realized that they got up too early. They were too early, so they had to wait an hour until it was the zman to daven. So they considered it to be such a charpa, such a terrible thing that they got up, that they made a bracha on the talis and tefillin before the zman. They had no doubt that later they were goyzer a tainis that the tzim made a bracha levatola. So it's a fascinating, obvious now. The Mishnah Berurah is telling us, and we're learning from Rav Moshe, we're learning from the Shem Shem Halacha, all these different, that it's not such a terrible thing. That Adarav Halacha Lemaisli Paskin, the lechatchila you can make a bracha on talis and tefillin, not talis, but on tefillin before Alois Hashachar, and you can even daven Pesuk the Zimra, and you can even recite Kriyashma, you can daven Shachris, and later when you come to the Zman Mishiyakir, then you should just repeat the Kriyashma. But and you don't need to put on tefillin again. You don't need to put on daven Shemon Esrei again. But he's just pointing out that this is one opinion. There are other people that are much more sensitive to this, to these issues.
Magensia was in Germany.
Mainz.
No, it says Magensia. Speyer, Worms, and Magensia.
Right. Speyer, Worms, and Magensia. Mainz.
Was in Germany.
Yes, the three. Those are the Kilo Shum. Those are the three cities that were affected by the brunt of the First Crusade, 1096. What? I don't know. Mainz, it says here Magensia, Mainz in the premises.
Shmoneh Esrei is on a different level than Kriyashma.
Shmoneh Esrei, you don't need to, Shmoneh Esrei does not need to be done by Mishayakim. Shmoneh Esrei Kriyashma can be said Mishallah Amud HaShachar. You don't need to say Shmoneh Esrei Mishayakim. You need to say Shmoneh Esrei can be said after Alois HaShachar. Once it's already 90 minutes, even B'diavad, 90 minutes before sunrise, you can already daven the Shmoneh Esrei. Even 72 minutes before sunrise. But you cannot recite Kriya Shema until it's at least somewhere between Mishayakir. What is Mishayakir for Kriya Shema? It's somewhere between 35 and 60 minutes before sunrise. So the person is holding, let's say it's 70 minutes before sunrise, and you want to daven Shmoneh Esrei, go right ahead. Go daven, but you can't say Kriya Shema. You can't say Kriya Shema, so you really should not make the brachos. So what do you do with the brachos? Don't say the brachos. Say the brachos after you finish davening. If a person comes late to davening, make it right in. You can do that. Make it right in. You can skip the brachos and you can daven. That we'll get to later on. Those are similar later on. What happens when you come late to davening? So you should daven Shmon Esrei together with the tzibur and recite the brachos Kriya Shema after you finish your Shmona Esrei. Okay, that we'll discuss later on. Even though we do everything properly, we still get the Zimra, and then we have Birchas Kriya Shema, there are three brachos, and Kriya Shema is packaged within the three brachos, then we have Shmona Esrei, but b'dieved, you can skip the brachos of Kriya Shema, and you can just go to the Shmona Esrei, and in fact, the Zman when you allow to have Shmona Esrei is earlier than the Zman when you can dive in Kriya Shema. So when you're in a situation where it's not yet Mishayakir, but it's past the Zman of Alois HaShachar, so technically you can daven Shmona Esrei, but you can't yet say the Barachos of Kriya Shema. So the Barachos of Kriya Shema have to be said later on. Okay, that Mitzvah Shem will come to later on. When we finish later in the Siman, later on, we'll discuss the Seder of davening, Sug the Zimra, and Birchos Kriya Shema. Let's now go to Halutah Simin Gimel, Sif Gimel. Ksibit, run through this very quickly. Ksibit says in the Torah, we have another one over here, Yud Aleph. We have Yud Aleph. I didn't realize, Yud Aleph. Now we have the question, we learned yesterday that what do you do first? Do you do first the mitzvah of tefillin, or do you do first the mitzvah of tzitzis? So we learned yesterday, Tadir, Vesha'ena Tadir, Tadir Koidim. I learned yesterday that, like someone here mentioned, that there's another in you, like you said, Malin B'Koidesh. There are really three reasons why we put on Talis first. Number one is, as it says on the kitz, he only quotes one of the three reasons. Tadir, v'she'enit tadir, tadir kaidim. Talis is done every single day. Tefillin is not done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, talis is tadir, we do talis first. Another reason why talis comes first. Malin ba'kaidesh v'loy maridin. You go up. You start off with a mitzvah which has lesser sanctity, and you go up to a higher mitzvah of sanctity. Someone will ask, just the opposite. Being that the tefillin have more sanctity, you should do that first. So the answer is, it's a lom shavart, the chil between the gavra and the cheftza, brisk of art. When it comes to the object itself, then a mitzvah which has more sanctity is more kodesh. But when it comes for you absorbing sanctity, it's not abject. Object has more, tefillin has more sanctity. But a concept of malin ba'kodesh v'loy maridin is a concept in how you come in contact with Kedusha, how you absorb the Kedusha. So you will first absorb the Kedusha from the talis, and then you'll come to the higher Kedusha of tefillin. Malin ba'kodesh have a lower experience of Kedusha, which will serve as a preparation to come to a higher experience of Kedusha of the tefillin. A third reason why you put on talis first is because talis hukash kol hamitzvahs to tzitzis. It's more chashuv in that respect. Re'isim also uzechartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem v'asisem oisam. Being that tzitzis is compared to all the mitzvos, it has that chashivus, and that chashivus requires that it be done first before you come to tefillin, where tefillin is compared to Torah. L'mantiyed Torah Hashem b'ficha, but it's not compared to all the mitzvos. Therefore, talis comes first. The Kitz Shochnach only quotes the first reason of tadir v'she'enu tadir tadir kaidim. So here Yud Aleph, we have v'tzmitzes tefillin einan heges v'b'chol ayin l'kamon sheherachnu b'inyin mi she'over al ha'gyonus. The person passes the Mediterranean or the Atlantic, depending on different opinions, ha'gadol ha'maspik bein eze bein Asia la America. You go over the Atlantic.
The
overall gvul hakaf.
The Pacific.
So you go. You're passing over hakaf hatarich. You're going over the international day line. Vu amokam she hiskimu olav kol olam shezeh haschol samizroch v'sef amarav. Umeshanin minyan yom hashvu v'achodesh tahein im over mimizroch lamarav koyf lemesiyom avar v'im over mimarav lemizroch medalgim al yom hamochras. So you have the international day line. So what happens with regard to tefillin? So here you have a very big challenge. What do you do with tefillin when you pass the international date line? How does halacha? This is very complicated. I'm not prepared. What do you do when you go to to even Hawaii, right? Hawaii is also a shayla.
Hawaii is not Hawaii.
It's
still
really
on the other side of the line.
When they draw the map that way.
Japan is a problem.
Western hemisphere.
Japan is a problem.
Along the United States, really, the line if you go straight.
Line is
Hawaii is on the other side. However, they go like this.
They gerrymandered
the line in the Western hemisphere.
So what do we do when it comes to these areas? It's very, very complicated. Do you put on tefillin on Shabbos? If it's considered in halacha, what do we do? So he brings down from Rav Shapir, "Tzaruch lonich tefillin b'Shabbos mischadash le'al pi cheshvan ha'chodosh." You have to put on tefillin. B'sfino v'Shabbos u'lefi ha'cheshvan shi'atzim ibeis, so lo yonich tefillin. But from the Shabbos, I'm not really sure what this means. I'm not sure. I'm sure the zichron Yitzchak the holich b'midbar the ain yodeya mosa Shabbos ain loy laniach tefillin the kevin of Rabbi Akiva ika isur laniach tefillin b'Shabbos v'yamtiv mutav lava al sofik mitzasei b'shevi al taseh melavar al sofik isur b'kum yaseh. So here's a very fascinating person traveling with two different shilas. International dayline. What do you do with tefillin? Okay, just keep those issues in mind. I don't know the answer. It's very complicated. He's quoting one opinion, which I'm sure there are many other opinions. It's not clear. And then another situation where a person is lost in the desert and he does not know when it's Shabbos. So what do you do? It's Machlokes the Gemara. Do you count 7 days and then observe Shabbos, or do you observe Shabbos immediately and then you have 6 days? And the Gemara basically says it doesn't really make a difference since every single day is Safek Shabbos. So you Safek Derais L'Chumah, you're not allowed to do Melacha 7 days a week. And anything you need to do for Bikuach Nefesh, you can do 7 days a week. So what then is the purpose of knowing when it's Shabbos, when it's not Shabbos? The only nafkamin is when to make Kiddush. When do you make Kiddush and Havdalah? Again, you lost the desert, you don't know when it's Shabbos, 7 days, don't do Melacha unless it's Bikuach Nefesh.
Right.
What? Bikuach Nefesh, you have to get to your destination. You gotta get out of here. Bikuach Nefesh. The only difference is Havdalah. So here he's quoting another Shiloh. What do you do about tefillin all 7 days? So he says you're off the hook. You don't wear tefillin all since the Suffolk Shabbos every day. On a Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear tefillin because it's carrying. It's carrying on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Akiva. If you're going to travel, since you're going to travel more than Dalet Amos, it's going to be considered carrying. Therefore, it's better not to wear tefillin.
You leave your tefillin in the desert somewhere?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Anything.
I don't know.
It's
bizarre.
You have to eat cholent every day.
I don't know. It's a bizarre case. It is bizarre. Ego isul aniach film shavs yonam mutav lava al stavim zasei b'shev yatasei melava al stavim ikse b'kum yasei b'bi halacha kasa dholach u'demidbar irin yodei amos haShabbos. He disagrees. The bear halacha disagrees. Yaniach tefillin ella b'shas tefil ella b'shas l'Shabbos lo yaniach shlo yet tarti desastri hadadi ayin sham. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. He says that you should wear tefillin all 7 days except on that day that you select as Shabbos, when you dive in the Nusach of Tefillah of Shabbos, that day you do not wear Tefillin. Okay, different opinions. Yud Beis, Tzorach L'Nech Tchila. You put on Tefillin, you put on the Talis first. I am Magen Avram. The Ein Kepeda Bezeh Kevon, that Tefillin Adayim Besuch Kisan. So he's quoting over here from Yud Beis is, if Poga Tchila B'Tefillin Af Alpi Shein Besuch Kisan Tzorach L'Nech The case is very common. You open up your talis bag and you by accident touch the tefillin first. So according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you are required to put on the tefillin immediately because of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos Ushmartem Es HaMatzvos Al Tikri Matzvos El HaMitzvos. You must put on the tefillin first. I'm going to Avram the Ein Kepei De Bezeh. He disagrees. Okay, so here we have the Heter. Here you have the heter, which is of Magen Avraham, that it doesn't make a difference. Even if you touch the tefillin first, the tefillin bake first, it's okay. Why? Kevon the tefillin adayin b'sech kisan. That's what he holds. He is the Magen Avraham. But the ayin, the ber halacha, the loy paskinin ke Magen Avraham, he disagrees. The ber halacha says that you must put on the tefillin first. Vehevi mikam achronim sefer ma'asev l'chlamachnois, hevi mikam achronim sheposke b'agrivdo, but other people paskin like the Magen Avraham. So yesh v'yesh. It's very rare to see this. I don't think I ever saw this. I never saw someone put on their their tefillin before their talis, obviously they're being samech on the Magen Avraham. If I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah says even if you walk in the room, if I'm not mistaken, he brings down if you walk in the room and if your tefillin are on this table and your talis is on that table, and in order for you to get to your talis, you have to pass your tefillin. We apply the rule of Ein Ma'avirin Al Hamitzvos. You must put on your tefillin first. If, of course, you want to make both mitzvos. In a situation where you have no intent, for example, let's say you're davening mincha for the yomot, you're in a shul, a nusach ashkenaz, and they tell you to daven mincha, and the shul does not have a talis, and the minig of the shul is to wear a talis, and you have your talis bag in front of you, and you open up your talis bag, and accidentally you touch your tefillin. So does that mean you mechuyif to put on your tefillin before you put on the talis to go daven for the yomot? Absolutely not. Because you have no kavana to put on tefillin. You're only having kavana to put on your talis. The only time we apply this principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, if you come in contact with your tefillin first, you must put on tefillin, is when you want to be mekayim both. It's shachris. I want to wear a tefillin. I want to wear a talis. And I come in contact with my tefillin first. Then we apply the rule you have to put on your tefillin. If you only want to make one mitzvah, you're not mechuyif to put on, to take the mitzvah that you come in contact with. So again, the bottom line is here, machlekes apoiskim between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham says, if it's munach b'kisan, you don't have to put on your tefillin first. It appears that is what the oilam is, saimachan. Like we always say, we're looking for kulis here. We're not looking for chumris. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no, I disagree. If you come in contact with your tefillin, it doesn't harm you. There is definitely no harm done if you were to follow the Mishnah Berurah, and if you're not embarrassed, you're at home, you're private, you're by the kaisel, and you come in contact with your tefillin first, there's a time for everything. You can follow the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah.
But his kavana wants to put on his talis.
Doesn't matter. Even though, but you want to do both. In Echnami, it's true. My kavana is...
one before the other.
My kavana was to put on my talis first, 100%, but now I want to do both. The only question is, which one will I do first? Which one will you do first is not significant enough. When I only want to do one, I'm davening mincha, I have no intent whatsoever to put on tefillin. Then, I touch the tefillin, then it's meaningless. But if I want to do both, only thing is, I want to do the talis first. That's not significant enough. You have to put on the tefillin if you will come in contact with the tefillin first, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, now let's go to what? Yesh v'yesh. So yeah, the Mishnah, you do. You have two. You can pick and choose. What? Okay, so good. Okay. You went to the King Magen Avraham. So did I. Also went to Magen Avraham. Okay. Next, Yud Gimel. Okay, now let's go to Halacha Gimel, Sima Gimel. Let's go quickly. It says in the Torah that tefillin should be an os al yotcha. The parshas v'hoyo ki yiviyacha. Midrashivit says yotcha behei. Since there is a hey after the chaf, that means a weaker hand, feminine. Feminine in the keva, women are weaker than men. So darshu abasinzachon levracha the hainu yot keil the weak hand. Zo small. That means the tefillin to be put on the left hand. Shehu tasha the keya, it is weak. V'yenicha sham b'makam shabasa. So that's what the halacha. The tefillin goes on your weak on the left hand. We'll talk about the left hand a little bit later on. V'yenicha sham b'makam shabasa hu gavoa. You put it on the part of the bicep where the bicep rises. Shenemar v'samtam. Why on the bicep? Because it says v'samtam es devarai v'samtem es devarai ela al levavchem. We want it to be near your heart. And therefore the bicep, the part of the arm where it begins on the bicep, where it begins to ascend upward, after the bicep significantly ascends upward, is the beginning of the place of the tefillin shel yad. That happens through the place that is directly opposite the heart when you put your hand down. When you rest your hand down, that part of the bicep which begins to rise is right opposite the heart. That's the starting part of the tefillin. You should put it there, and you should put the tefillin on an angle. After, you will tighten the ritzua. This, of course, depends on if you nusach ashkenaz from the sfard. Do you pull the ritzua towards you, or do you wrap the tzura away from you, tilted? So everyone knows, everyone has experience, after you finish wrapping two, three times, that pull is going to cause the tefillin to go in one direction or another. So you have to know how to start out. So after you finish doing the adjustments, the tefillin will tilt slightly towards the heart. She'll be on the bicep. It begins with the bicep, begins to rise. That's where it begins. Not like some people put the tefillin too low. Be careful. Don't put the tefillin too low. Better to put the tefillin a little bit higher up than to put it too low. Where the tefillin begin, where the bicep begins to rise, where the tefillin begin. And it should tilt slightly towards the body on your left hand. When you bend, you relax your arm down. So when you drop your hand loosely, the tefillin will be opposite your heart. Between your eyes, does not chas v'shalom mean between your eyes mamish? Not like you see people doing that halacha. Ella k'neged bein means k'neged your eyes. Where the hair begins to sprout, that's where the tefillin begin to start. That's where it starts. It goes up to the place where the child's head, a baby's head, is soft. Here he makes it very careful. Now we have the titar, you know, the tefillin there. We have the bias, that's the part in the center, which, and then we have the titar. The titar literally means a bridge. And it, we know that that means the part that extends out on all four sides of the tefillin is called the titara. The titara also must be above the part of the head where the hair grows or used to grow. Should not be below the place where the hair begins to grow. And the edge of the mavarta, and the top of the mavarta should not be high in the part where the tinuk, the child's head, is soft. Now here he goes on to say something very important. You have to be very careful. It's very critical that a person should always make sure that the tefillin are in the proper location. If chas v'shalom, even part of the tefillin are lower than they should be on the forehead, even part of the titorah, where here does not grow. It's not perfectly in the center. He has not done the mitzvah. That's one problem. And then the kitzur always focuses on this. He's obsessed with this. That, to a certain degree, is even worse. To make a bracha levatola is even worse than not being the kind of the mitzvah properly. The akasha, where is the kasha shell? Where does the kasha go? Yemunach kinegdoi miachorei haroish lamala begoyva ha'iref, along the bone, along the nape. Shu soif hagelgolas, it's the end of the skull. B'makom se, where there's hair. Shu kineged haponim, which is directly opposite the face. V'lo yate l'kan l'kan, it's also in the center. V'tzricha shadehe mudek esperosh, has to be tight. V'hine kishabayis mavarta ruchavim, when the bayis is very large. Kosha shadehe mudek eskaroi, it's hard for the tefillin to be properly attached. V'tzrichim lizor b'zeh, be very, very careful. Now let's explain a few things. First of all, we have a very big problem. Problem today is our tefillin are very large. Our tefillin today, I'm not talking about the massive size, I'm talking about the average size tefillin. The Lubavitch had a mini for a very large tefillin. But even if you're not a Lubavitch, you have an average size tefillin, our tefillin today, medium size, there's someone to suggest that even the medium size tefillin today is double the size of tefillin that they wore in time of Chazal. Now that's very problematic, because the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that when you put on your tefillin, make sure, it's very important, that it should be above where the hair begins to grow. And if you're not sure, it's safe to go higher than to go lower. Go high as you possibly can. And don't worry about going too high, because what's the danger? Since our tefillin, yeah, the Gemara says that yesh makom berosh, lo niach shtei tefillin, there's a place on the head to put two tefillin, which means one behind the other, one over here and then one over here. Since we're only wearing one pair of tefillin, even if you go too high, you're not going to exceed the gap of going too high up, yeah?
But if you go too high in the front, you go too low in the back.
Oh, so therefore that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says there's no concern about going too low on the back. Yeah. You're talking about the Dalit. Yeah, I'm going to get that in a moment. Let's do one thing at a time. Let's first discuss the place for the Tefillah Shel Rosh in the front, then we'll discuss the Kesher. But the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not such a problem going too high, because since the Gemara says that Yesh Mokim Rosh Lo Niach Shtei Tefillin, you have a space for two tefillin. If you go up higher, you're not going to go below the lower limit of the place of the Shel Rosh. Not everyone agrees with that piece of Mishnah Berurah, because our tefillin today are pretty large. Especially we have a large Mavarta, and we already are taking up most of the area that's fit for the Tefillah Shel Rosh. It's not clear in the Mefarshim where is the soft spot of a child. The place on the head where the skull of a child is soft. That area is not clearly defined in Halach. It's a little bit of a mystery. Well, even if you touch, what does it mean? You go into child, you touch it. But when it comes an adult, and even in a child where it's soft, it's not clear. It's not clear where that place is. So it's not clear how high one can go. All we have to work with is we know for sure that the starting point is where the hairs begin to sprout. And we know that we have space for a double pair of tefillin. But being that our tefillin today are double the size they used to be, you don't have much room to wiggle. So basically, you should put the tefillin in exactly the right location. Right after where the hairs once upon a time sprouted, that is the starting point, and that's exactly where the beginning of your tefillin should rest. Not much higher, because if you go much higher, you're pushing the back part of the tefillin too high up. Now, where does the kesher go? Now, if you go and touch the back of your head, there's a bone. There's a bone that ends the skull. That bone is above the hole. If you go back up your neck, you come to a part in your head, there is a little hole. That's not where the kesher belongs. Most people put the kesher in that hole. After that hole, there's a bone. That's where the kesher should rest. The reason why many people do not put the tefillin on that bone, but they put it below that bone, in the hole below the bone, is because it's going to fall off your head. The tefillin are very big, and here's the catch. Our ritzuos today are almost double as wide as they used to be. If our ritzuos were the exact size of a barley seed, which basically means half the width, it would be very easy for you to put your tefillin in the proper location and have the dalid actually rest on that bone, which is probably at least 2 inches higher than the average person puts the kesher on their head. When you put the kesher on your back, you'll notice it's sitting in the hole, right? That's probably where it's sitting. That's not where it belongs. It belongs a little bit higher on the bone. We don't do it because we can't do it. Because if you do it, what would happen? One of two things. Your tefillin will droop down on your forehead, which is the worst thing possible. Or if you would make it so small and your tefillin would be above where your hair begins to grow, and the kesher would be on that bone, if you twitch, your tefillin would go flying. They would fall off your head. So we're stuck. We're really stuck. Why are we stuck? For two reasons. Our tefillin are double the size than they should be, and our ritzuos are double as wide as they should be. And no one is coming along and telling us to make smaller tefillin, because if you make smaller tefillin for the tzibur, maybe for yechidim, they're very expensive, there you're going to run into kashrus problems, because the smaller you begin to write, the smaller you write, the smaller you write, the ksav will be, the quality of the ksav, the average sofer will diminish greatly. There are only a handful number of sofer that are talented to write extremely small that are mehuder, the average sofer. And if you want, not everyone can afford to spend $10,000 on getting a pair of tefillin that are very, very small, with a very, very small ksav that will fit inside. And there are tzuos. And And the Ritzuos, if we're going to make the Ritzuos exactly the size that they should be, in a very short period of time, when you make the Kesher, they're going to get smaller than the required size, and then it will be 100% possible. So, we basically have no choice. That's the way it is. On the one hand, the technology today has never been so great, where we have the batim have never been as muhudr as they were. The parchment has never been as muhudr. The ink has never been muhudr. The ritzus has never been muhudr. Never. But on the other hand, our tefillin have a chasaron that they're twice as big as they really should be, and the ritzuos are twice as wide. Because that's the limit of our technology. The tefillin are built that way to accommodate the parashios. They can make the ritzuos.
In the old days, it wasn't built.
No, the old days they didn't have. The old days, for some reason, they wrote tefillin smaller.
The letters were written very thin.
They didn't, not like we mentioned, not even had such tefillin mehudarim in those days. They didn't have, not even wore tefillin like we mentioned time of the Gemara. We had a whole discussion if they even wore tefillin every single day. And even those who did wear tefillin, they were definitely not as mehudar, at least as we are. But this is the situation. The situation is the way it is. Our tefillin are pretty big, even the average size of tefillin, and the ritzuos are very wide, and therefore something has got to give. And what gives, and it's accepted, that the ritzur, the kesher, shall go on the bone, as it says here, is not an ikur. I mean, it's an ikur, but it's not ma'akev. It's not 100% essential. It's much more important that you should have tefillin muhudarim, that are a little bit bigger, and ritzuos a little bit wider, and make sure your tefillin are begin where your hair used to grow, and the kesher will then suffer and slip into the hole that is below the bone. But if you have a very big head, there are people like this, a very big head, and you can afford to buy, tefillin that are a little bit smaller, which are mehudar, which are just as mehudar as the average size tefillin, then you have all the milos where the kesher goes on exactly on the bone itself, and your tefillin are right in the proper location, and they are firmly attached to your head, and they're not going to wiggle off your head. If they wiggle off your head, you're not making the mitzvah, because it says the pasuk kashar, and it has to be tied. And if it's very loose, and if you just twitch, it falls off. That's not called the kashira and the lo yotza. Yeah.
That's when you say the bracha. What happens 10 minutes later?
Just tighten it.
Pull it down. You say the bracha,
no,
right?
Yeah.
And it's in the right place.
Yeah.
So then it's not a bracha and a ratala. So 10 minutes later, if it's
not a siach das. So the bracha that you said originally is still a good bracha. It's still good. If you're in a siach das and in a chanan, then you would have to go make a new bracha when you put the tefillin back in the proper location. If the tefillin totally go off to the side of your head for 5 minutes, and during those 5 minutes you're having a conversation with your friend, you're reading this paper, and achnam, you have to go make a new bracha and you put it back on. If you're davening, you're not misiach das, and you're tilling, it moves to the wrong side, the bracha is not bottled. Just like if a person would go to the bathroom for a few minutes, take off his tefillin, you don't make a new bracha when you put the bracha and tefillin back on. As long as you're not misiach das, you concentrate on 2 minutes of putting my tefillin back on, you do not make a new bracha. Because that's one of the topics. We'll come to some of those things a little bit later on. Okay, but this subject, keep in mind, the size of the tefillin, the ritzuos, the proper location. Now you'll ask me a question that you see picture of Gedolei Yisrael from the old generation, the Lubavitch, their tefillin are on their foreheads.
Down.
Okay, are down. So what's going on?
Big heads.
So I once heard from a very big Talmud Chacham that you can't say about it. Used to be, today Baruch Hashem you don't see this that often. It used to be years ago, it was very common. You go into a shul, old time, like the old timers, they're all wearing the tefillin on the forehead.
Down.
For sure, but even Orthodox shuls,
right.
And it's very sad. Today in Baruch Hashem, you don't see this. There's much more awareness in halacha. But years ago, you would see that. So someone once told me that even though it says it in Shulchan Aruch, and it says all over that the tefillin must start with the siros, it's not necessarily mean lo yotza yidei chayvasa. And you can't say that these people, their whole life, karkafle monach tefillin. There is some room b'neinechem that you still, obviously you don't want to do this.
This is
here? On this, what?
Minimum and maximum length of ritzuas.
Yes, the ritzuas. Yes, we're going to get to it. Ritzuas, there is, yes, definitely get to it. So this is the basic rules of the ritzuas. Okay.